Happy Monday, everybody. We're getting ready to talk to listener Jillian about her latest Disney adventure. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, The Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, softcover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with a premium subscription to touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. As I always say, it's my insurance policy against the crowds. I can go the busy Christmas week and not sweat it because I'll have up to the second information that tells me where to go in the right order to see those attractions I know and love with the least amount of weight. You can do the same. Make your next vacation that much better. Check them out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1201 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, and unfortunately back in St. Louis, Missouri. I know it's sad, but you can't be sad that the trip's over. You got to be happy that it happened. Lots of memories were made, and we have lots of content to share here on the podcast in the coming weeks, so get ready for that. But of course, it is a Monday, so that means it's time for a trip report. We're sneaking this one in a little bit early before we set sail, so we make sure we have this content ready to go for you. So we're going old school, way back to the old days. Somebody that's been with us from the very beginning, we're heading up to New York. It's Jillian. How's it going, Jillian?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good. Just like the old days, man. You've been with us since, I think, 2008, 2009. We've been friends for a long time.
Since like day one. It's crazy.
So. I know. Isn't that crazy? It's going to be 10 years in March. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Woo. Lots of stories. Anyway, so we're going to sneak in a trip report here. You're at work. I'm trying to sneak it in, before we get out of here and get on the ship and get down to Walt Disney World. But we're both busy, but we can't leave our listeners without a great trip report, and you have a good one. So a lot of folks are looking forward to the fall. Wine and Dine Race weekend. You were there. That's what we're going to talk about from last year, right?
Yep, definitely.
All right, so set us up. Where'd you stay? When did you, who'd you travel with and all that kind of stuff?
So we got there on October 30th, stayed at Caribbean Beach until that Friday, then moved over to Saratoga Springs until the 8th. I went with my friends Kristen, Tom, and if any of the old school listeners remember, Katie, old school Kadani Katie, my little bestie Imagineer now.
That's what I was going to say. Look at that, boy. She turned out. We're all like Disney fans. She's an Imagineer, boy. She trumped all the rest of us, man.
She did. But that's why we were so excited for this trip, because I've been spoiled that I'd go and visit her, and we just randomly decide to pop into parks now. So this is my first big Disney trip in almost 2 years.
I got to say just about Katie real quick, and then we'll talk about all the other stuff, because I think it's so cool when I see on Instagram or Facebook that, you know, because we've both known Katie for a long time. I know you're great friends with her. I know her, you know, just from the podcasting and going to Walt Disney World, running races with her and so forth. But when you see somebody that is a fan of the parks, you know they're a fan of the company, and then now she puts on the hard hat with the Imagineer stuff on, I'm like, that is so dang cool. I always show that to my daughter. Like, I tell Mallory and Paige, like, look, you can chase your dreams, because I know that was Katie's. It's so amazing to see that.
It is. I'm so proud of her. And it's really funny, though, because there are days where I get those text messages like, oh, work is so crazy. I'm like, yeah, but it's so crazy because you're sitting in the Frozen ride for 24 hours today. Like, You can't say that to me.
That's right. That's really something. So proud of her as well. All right. So you stayed at Caribbean Beach. So why did you pick that resort? Was it just something that, like me, like, oh my gosh, I got to get down there. I got to race and I haven't booked my hotel. It's 2 weeks out. No. Why'd you decide Caribbean Beach?
Well, we really wanted to stay in a moderate. I actually wanted to stay at French Quarter, but Katie's lovely discount only got us into Caribbean Beach, and it was too good of a deal to pass up. And I hadn't stayed there in a long time, so it was actually really nice to stay there.
So, what are your thoughts on staying there? Because that one's kind of off the radar right now because of all the construction. But this was obviously demolishing half the resort right now. It'll be nice in a couple of years, but it's in transition. But what did you think of it back then?
We really liked it. The only issue we had was we kept getting lost. Like, wow. We couldn't figure our way back late at night and driving around because it's just so big. But the room was very comfortable, especially since they had upgrades, I think, a year or so ago. Like, having that wooden partition slider divider thing was super helpful while we were all getting ready. Food court was great. Yeah, we really liked it.
All right, so one more thing about Caribbean Beach so people can move forward with this, you know, because obviously the location won't change. So how was it getting around to all the places you needed to be, especially on a race weekend? And you were there one of the busiest weeks of the year because that week is just kind of nuts.
Oh, it was super easy. They have lots of bus stops. Lots of buses were continuously going. I don't think we ever waited very long for a bus. So it was easy, and it's centrally located, so it doesn't take that long to get to any of the parks.
Yeah, great. It backs up to Pop Century there if you kind of look at an overall resort map, and that's a great spot. Also kind of close to Wide World of Sports and Epcot, too, so good for a race weekend. So you were down there, obviously. You were running the half marathon. You were running the races. Was that like the focus of the trip? Is that why you went? Is would catch up with friends, or was it just kind of everything? And were you worried about the race throughout the whole week, or how'd that go?
It was a little combination of everything. I needed redemption on the wine and dine because the last time I ran was in 2014 and it absolutely poured the entire time. And the new challenge, obviously, I love a good challenge, so sign me up. And then my friends and I, we like to travel together, and it had been a while since we had done a Disney trip, and there were so many new things that we really wanted to do. So it was the combination of both.
That's good. Because you really got to, you know, even these race weekends, you're focused on the races. You're trying to take care of hydration and, nutrition and everything like that. But you're at Walt Disney World. You're there with friends. You know, you got to get out there and have fun, you know, have a drink every once in a while, have a good meal. It's kind of a balancing act. I mean, I think that's what I fell into. I was there that same week and ran Wine and Dine, and I got extremely dehydrated and had a miserable race on the half. So we kind of talked before we started recording. At least you kind of were aware, like, okay, a couple days before, I need to start drinking some water and getting my body ready because it's a morning race now, and sometimes that it's different than those night races were.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually feel like we did a lot of walking, so I was constantly moving throughout the week, so I felt like, you know, my body was ready for it that way. And then I think around Thursday or Wednesday night, we did a Prime order, Amazon Prime order, and ordered like 2 cases of water for me. And the next like couple of days leading into it, I was just chugging all day long.
So walk us through to some of the stuff you guys did while you were down there. You know, you've heard the show 1,200 times now. You know, just walk us through some of the highlights looking back almost a year ago.
Yeah, so we actually, we hashtagged this trip, hashtag try new things, hashtag treat yourself. So we were all about trying new restaurants, new experiences. It was my first time getting to ride the Frozen ride with Katie because that was her first big project as an Imagineer. So yeah, it was all about trying the new stuff.
So what's that like? Okay, so you rode the ride with Katie. Katie obviously worked on it as an Imagineer. Did she just kind of sit back and let you take it all in, or did she give you like, hey, you know, like when you're getting ready to go on, like, make sure you check out Olaf's chin or something? I don't know. What was that like?
She did. She gave us a couple little tidbits. We got a fast pass because we're not going to wait in line, and she doesn't even have that pull as an Imagineer. So she told us there's a little proclamation right before you get onto the ride, and she said, all of us that worked on the ride, our signatures are on the back of that proclamation.
No way. That is so awesome. Oh man.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then she pointed a couple of things out. She's like, we really wanted to do this. And we ran out of time, couldn't make it work. But look over here, this was somebody's idea to do this. And I had the biggest smile on my face. If you look at our photo pass picture, I look like a little kid going on their very first ride. I was so excited for her. I think I even cried at the end.
That's awesome. So, yeah, what? Definitely a vote here for Frozen Ever After over Maelstrom. I know not everybody says that in the Disney community, but I like it too. I'm with you.
I think it's great. I think the animatronics are unbelievable.
They are. They're really cool. So I like that, though. You hashtag the trip. That way we can kind of go back, and everybody listening today can probably find that hashtag and maybe see some of the pictures on social. But what other kind of new stuff did you do?
The first day we got there, we decided to do what we like to call a progressive dinner over at Disney Springs. So my girlfriend Kristen and I went around to all the different places and shared little stuff. We started at Deluxe. We went to Morimoto. We went to the poutine truck. Yeah, it was delicious. I love everything. I love Disney Springs.
That's a great idea, though, to do something like a progressive dinner at Disney Springs, because the problem is, it's so hard, especially now, man. It is so hard to find where you want to go, you know, because do you want to go to Morimoto's? Do you want to go to Homecoming? Do you want to go to, have light things over at Jock Lindsay's, because they have good, like, little appetizer, snacky things. You know, I like it. So you kind of hopped around and just maybe had, like, apps and drinks or something like that?
Yeah, that's what we did. And it was really nice. It gave us a feel for the land. And we went back later on in the week and had actual sit-down dinner at Homecoming, which was amazing.
Okay,
so good.
Okay, we're going to jump to that. Hopefully by now, by the time you're hearing this show, hopefully I've had Homecoming at least once, maybe twice, I don't know. As we're recording, I still haven't had it. It seems like every person in the world has eaten at Homecoming but this guy, and that's my kind of food. So let's do it. Dive into it. What'd you think?
Oh, my goodness. So good. We had hush puppies, mac and cheese, fried chicken, their sangria. Oh, everything was absolutely delicious. I would go back in a heartbeat.
Because this is the one thing I don't understand, because that kind of stuff just sounds like, and don't get me wrong, I love a good Cracker Barrel and a good Waffle House, but it sounds like that's the kind of environment. But what's the atmosphere like? Is it more upscale or no?
No, not at all. I mean, we were all casually dressed because we were going over to Hollywood Studios after to catch the Star Wars fireworks. So, you know, we were casual. I think Katie met us after work. And yeah, it's kind of like, hey, welcome to my home. That's kind of what it felt like, homey. Yeah. I would definitely put it as homey.
Oh, man, they're going to have to pry me away from that place. Anyway, so some other things that you did under the hashtag of new experiences during this trip.
We went to the new tour at Disney's Animal Kingdom, the Savor the Savannah Sunset Experience.
What'd you think?
Oh my God. I am convinced that all of the tours at Animal Kingdom are hands down the best tours, because I loved Wild Africa Trek. And that's actually how Katie and I had found out about this tour. This was such a cool experience. You go right around sunset. They take you out on the same vehicle they use for Wild Africa Trek. You get about 45 minutes where you just sit on the savannah and what do they call them? Gamekeepers, trainers, whatever they are. One of them comes over and answers all your questions and points out different animals, like, oh, that's Bob over there. He's like our favorite wildebeest. And there's that, which was great. And then you go over to those tents or little huts, whatever you want to call them, in the middle of Savannah. You have dinner, and it's all you can drink, wine and beer, for about 45, 50 minutes. It was delicious.
They probably make sure that you don't take off. Just running across the Savannah. Like, I dare you just to run out and touch that tree and come back. Yeah, that's probably frowned upon. Oh,
but the coolest part was... So obviously we got to see the sunset, the real one, not like the fake one.
I love the LED one, but the real one's probably better.
We saw the real one, and then once the sun set, the animals come alive. Like, so we're sitting in this hut and you hear the lions roaring. And you're like, first you think like, oh my God, like, are they gonna come and get me?
Yeah, exactly. But... You thought you were having dinner. It's actually you are dinner for the lions.
Because they're so loud that you think that they're right there. So then afterwards, they take you back out and you kind of go by where the rhinos are and you go by the lions. The lions were up active. They were playing with each other, fighting with each other. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Wow. So this is definitely, it sounds like a tour people should look into, because again, Animal Kingdom Lodge offers so many unique experiences just in staying at the lodge and dining experiences, but also they have two or three, this not lodge, sorry, the park, but the lodge too. I kind of got, yeah. I was thinking about the lodge. I don't know why I'm thinking about the lodge. I didn't even stay there this trip, but you know, there's just all around that area, the park and lodge, there's so many unique things to do that, you know, just if you're in the States, you don't get a chance to do that. Even if you have, like, we have a really good zoo in St. Louis, but nothing like that.
No, it was very cool. And it's a small, they only let a small group of people go. So you kind of make friends with everybody. So we made friends with a couple of people. And obviously, you know, we're all having drinks. Everybody's having a good time. So we got off the ride and everybody's like, Everest? Yeah, let's go do Everest. So it's dark. We run. We all go do Everest together. Then we come out, grab some more drinks at the bar there. And then they're doing some nighttime dance party over outside of Flame Tree Barbecue.
Yes.
We're dancing. We're having a good time. I'm obsessed with Animal Kingdom at night. I can't wait to see it with Pandora.
I know. Tell me about it. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see it too on this trip. And I agree though, because I was down there for that. They had the media event when they kicked off that Awakened Summer last summer kind of thing, where they had they had a name, but it's exactly what we're talking about, that dance party in Harambe every night. And that was such a great idea. That was such a cool atmosphere, such a cool vibe that it did what they were hoping, that you were going to stay in Animal Kingdom at night. It was so much fun. And it wasn't a million degrees either.
No, it was perfect. I actually think we had on like sweaters at that point.
Nice. I can't remember. I thought I was really hot when I was down there for Wine and Dine, but I can't remember now. It's been a while. I know I was hot during that race. It was like, it was sunny and I was blazing. Anyway, so walk us through a couple more unique events that you did, and then we'll dive into the race stuff for folks that are running this year.
Let's see. I know, I don't think anybody's really talked about it, but we ate at Skipper Canteen while we were there and really enjoyed it.
You know what? I think that place, like, here's the thing I think about Skipper Canteen, because I've eaten there a couple times too since it opened. I think people were so hyped for it before it opened, like, yes, we're getting a Jungle Cruise restaurant. And then I don't even know if it could have lived up to the hype, because people were so excited that venue was opening back up. And it wasn't the greatest right at first, but I think they've had a course correction. And I've eaten there a couple times in the last like 9 months. I loved it, but I didn't get anything real fancy. I got to taste like chicken, which is chicken. And one other thing I can't remember, but I mean, they were both solid and I love the atmosphere. So I'm a fan as well. What were your impressions of it for our audience?
We really liked it. We decided to do it for lunch. Went out, tried different things. I think I got a shrimp dish. I think my girlfriend got the whole fish thing. I don't remember, but yeah, we thought the food was really great. The service was great. Turned out that our server was from New Jersey and my friend is from New Jersey, so they were chatting away the whole time. So yeah, we had a really nice lunch. It was kind of nice to get out of the crowds because we were there on Halloween. So that was a little a little crazy.
So what's Halloween? So Halloween Day, like October 31st, is when you were
yeah.
there? So what's that like at the Magic Kingdom? Is it a nut house?
It was just a lot of people were around. A lot of people were dressed up. It was actually a really fun atmosphere. But what I actually found was the funniest thing is, so we were there on Halloween, and then the next day we went for the morning and it was already decorated for Christmas. So it's like, wait a second. I was here yesterday and I swear it was decorated for Halloween.
That's kind of shocking. Like, wow, man, my candy's still sitting back on my nightstand back at the hotel.
Yeah, it was such a quick turnover. I was really shocked.
Now, did you guys do any of the Halloween parties while you're down there? Or you just skipped that?
No, we skipped it.
Yeah,
we skipped it. I think I've done it. Yeah. Enough time to not justify $100-some-odd ticket.
it's definitely something to think about. Because, I mean, the thing is, like, you went on that tour. That's one of those things where, you know, people always ask. I get a lot of emails from guests that I work with and from people listening to the show. Is the Halloween party worth it? And, you know, it's a great party. Don't get me wrong. I encourage you, if you've never been, go. But then, like, the second and third and fourth time, you got to kind of say, okay, it's $100 here, and not only saving the $100, but for $100, I could do this tour, or I could have this meal, or I could have, you know, there's a lot of things to consider. And like, you know, that tour, you could make that work in the budget if you skip the Halloween party, maybe, and that's something that might stick with you longer. I don't know. It's just something to think about.
I agree. I would say, if you've never been to the party, go. Go the first time, go once, because they're awesome and I love the parties. But for me, I've been so many times now, I'd rather spend it on something new, like a tour like that.
Awesome. So let's talk here for a second about Saratoga Springs. You guys stayed there for a little bit. What kind of accommodations you guys have over there?
There it was myself, Katie, and her parents, and we stayed in a one-bedroom villa.
So, of course, everybody that listens to the show, the biggest knock on Saratoga is that it is enormous. I mean, it's really spread out, but it's also very beautiful. And now it's in a prime location because Disney Springs is a huge destination and you're right there within walking distance. So what was your overall impression of staying at Saratoga?
Most of all, overall, we loved it. Our location was great. We had such a pretty view of Disney Springs from our room. We were able to quickly walk there. Our biggest complaint, if you want to call it that, is I would not recommend staying there for a race weekend.
Because
and
you're just,
here's why. It's like,
I'm guessing it's just too remote.
Bus stop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. So that was a struggle.
Yeah. There's one bus stop for everybody for the race weekend. So we got there at like 3:30, 4:15, and it took us 45 minutes to get on a bus. Yeah. So by the time we got to the race, I mean, we were a couple minutes out from having to be in the corrals. The bathroom lines were long. Katie was like, I have to go. So she waited and she ended up missing her corral and they had to start two corrals back. So I don't think I would recommend it for a race weekend. Or if you do stay, just know, get out there super early for that first bus.
You know what? I'm always the person who's there for the first bus. I'm a freak like that. I hate that I'm like that because I'm always scared that I'm going to, that's exact story. What you just said, have me out there. Marathon weekend, I'll be the first one on the bus because, again, I just heard your story. That just freaked me out because, I mean, Katie should have been like, look, I'm an Imagineer, man. Can I go to the front? Come on, can I get a porta potty around this place? Come on now. I'm bringing the magic. That's what I'd have had to pull that card or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. But other than that, it was great for after because we hung by the pool. We went to Disney Springs that night. We ate at Blaze. We got the buy one, get one free cupcake from Sprinkles.
Yes.
We had our medals.
I did that too. Oh, those suckers are good. Oh, you're killing me here with homecoming and Sprinkles. Anyway, so let's say, though, you weren't staying there for a race weekend. Would you book Saratoga? You're just going down for a week and it's just vacation with the friends and family. Is that a place you would look at?
In a heartbeat. It was super comfortable, super relaxed. And like you said, you can't beat that location for walking back and forth to Disney Springs. It was perfect.
All right. So let's get your impressions on Wine and Dine race weekend. Again, this was the first year that they moved it to the morning for the half marathon instead of running the night races. The two previous years they had, it was called the Splash and Dash, the one you're speaking of, where it was just flooded. Then the year after that was the one that I didn't do that one. I did the one after that where it was shortened because of lightning. We're all huddled up at ESPN. So they moved it to the morning. And I had a terrible race, but I'm a morning runner. It was just really weird. I just didn't take care of my hydration. But it just didn't feel like it had the same vibe to me because I've run the Wine and Dine probably four or five times. The night races were always like Tower of Terror, Wine and Dine. They were just, it was almost like a party, and it's hard to be, and as much as like all the morning races are a party too, kind of, but I mean, it's still 5 o'clock in the morning. People are tired. Did you feel that? Or what'd you think of like the race itself?
The race itself, I didn't mind other than the course and for a big chunk, the lack of entertainment on the course while we were, if people don't know, we were running on back roads in between Animal Kingdom and I think it was Magic Kingdom, that area.
Yep.
And there was just it felt like miles, just nothing but road and people in front of you. So that was kind of disappointing to me.
Yeah, because they dragged out like old parade floats and old attraction vehicles and stuff like that. But when you're doing that, that shows that maybe there's not enough out here to see. I appreciate them doing that, because I enjoyed seeing like a Nautilus and, a Mr. Toad's car. That was interesting for me because I'm a huge Disney fan, but probably for 80% of the people, they could care less. It's like, oh, there's an old leftover car or something on the side of the road. But yeah, I would take, I liked it better in the old days, and I don't mind change, but the Wine and Dine just feels like it needs to be a night race. I don't know if they could get that back.
I agree. And I also didn't like the party and the way they had it set up afterwards.
Well, that too, because I had to go home to work. I couldn't even stay. Like, I had to get my tickets away because it was so, it was so far removed from the race.
Yeah. And the way they had it organized was just, it wasn't right. Because you could get in to Epcot at 8 o'clock. However, the party didn't technically start until 10 o'clock. So we're in Epcot, we're watching Illuminations, and now it's 9 o'clock and you're thinking they're going to start shuffling people out, but then we can go get a drink or something to eat. No, no. They shut everything down, every food and wine booth, everything for an hour.
See, that's just, so
you're just
smart.
In the park.
That's great. But I mean,
for them to open stuff up.
And what's bad about that too is like that's just silly because that's revenue lost. You want to buy a drink, you want to eat. You know what I mean? Keep it open. People are going to do that.
Exactly. Like it's not like we didn't have wristbands. We all had wristbands. You can see who's supposed to be at the party, who isn't. So they shut everything down. They shut all the rides down. I think they eventually opened them up maybe 15 minutes before 10 o'clock. But now at this point, everybody's hungry. They've been waiting. So the lines were astronomical to get any type of food.
Yeah.
And you're tired. You were up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I remember that because even back in that I did the very first Wine and Dine and it was just crazy at that party because it was immediately after you finished actually. I want to say you like finished in Epcot. No, how could that have worked? I remember though you had to go through through the World Showplace to get your bag. Like you came in through those gates by the UK and then you walked into the World Showplace and got your bag. But it was just a nut house. So I hope they learn from this and kind of take the best of all the years and maybe make some corrections this year. Because I want everybody to have a great experience. And it's going to be in the morning, but still, you know, I think they need more entertainment and a better course. Hopefully the course has changed.
Agree. I think the course was the way it is because of what's going on with Hollywood Studios. So hopefully once that starts wrapping up, that'll change. But yeah, they need to do something about the nighttime party because at that I think by like 11 o'clock, we had just fizzled out because he didn't want to wait in lines. It just wasn't even worth it at that point. So it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it's a shame because, when you're like, oh, what are we doing here? We could come here and it's not that big of a change from any other time. It's kind of disappointing. But I'm sure it'll be fine this year. I'm sure everybody's going to have a good time. So as we wrap this, any other stories from the weekend that really stick out in your mind? Like, man, that was a good time. We tried this. Throw this out to the audience that maybe they want to do something similar.
You know what? We ended up deciding to do that tour while we were sitting at the Nomad Lounge having some drinks.
I hope our drink over at the Nomad Lounge is a Leaping Lizard,
by the way.
It's my
favorite drink.
Oh, it's a good drink. I don't drink much. I love that sucker. The Leaping Lizard.
I love the Nomad Lounge. I think it's going to be very busy now that Pandora's open,
yes.
But I still love that lounge. So my suggestion would be just leave yourself open to change plans up. Just decide to do something and go do it. Disney's not going anywhere. I mean, sometimes some attractions go somewhere, but most of the time you can come back and do it another time. So, you know, we had no problem giving up a fast pass to go do a tour or changing dinner plans around to go try something new. So hashtag try something new.
I love that. I love it. Hashtag your trips. That's kind of a cool way to go back and remember all the things you did. So, Jillian, what do you have on the horizon? Like, what are you planning for your next maybe Run Disney event or just Disney trip in general?
So the next big one is going to be Marathon Weekend or Marathon. I'm doing the same thing, almost like Marathon Week.
Yes, nothing wrong with that. It is almost a week. It feels like anymore.
So I'm kind of nervous. It's going to be my first full, but I figured it's the 25th anniversary of the race. 2 weeks before my 35th birthday and 5 years to the day from when I did my very first ever Disney race. So it seemed like the stars were aligned and this has got to be it. So this is the year.
Hey, it's a piece of cake. I've survived 3 of them. So you're in great shape. I've seen you working out and doing all that. I don't know, like the cycle. What's it called again? Soul Cycle? I mean, you guys like kill it. I see on your social.
Thanks. I'm trying. I will say this. For Wine and Dine, I actually had a PR by about 4 minutes, and all I had done training for that was Orange Theory Fitness and Soul Cycle and a couple of runs outside. So I'm hoping that if I actually train for the marathon, maybe I'm going to get a PR anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
My first one. but maybe I'll actually run it more than I think I'm going to walk it.
Here's what'll keep you. Well, you're going to get a PR because it's your first one, but here's what'll keep you from getting the very best time that you could. That margarita stand in Mexico when you're cruising through at mile 26, it's like, screw it. Yeah, I'm going to get a margarita across the line. You're just like, I've run 26 miles. I need something to drink. It's crazy.
I told Katie, she better be waiting there for me with a drink or in World Showcase.
There are. That's the thing is, like, that's a place where all your friends kind of always, like, oh, I'll see you in Epcot, because that means they can get up at, like, 10:30 and still get there on time, because it takes you so long to get to Epcot because it's at mile 26. And then there they are. They're always giving you a drink. So good friends and good times. And I can't wait to see you down there. It's going to be a blast. I'm doing Dopey, so we'll be out there on Sunday at the same time.
Yeah. I'm excited, and I'm sure I will be at the park at some point, because whenever I go to visit Katie, you know, we'll be out at dinner and go, what do we want to do for breakfast? Tusker House? Yeah, let's just go. So,
all right. Well, that sounds good, and it's going to be fun down there for Marathon Weekend. Can't wait to catch up with you guys. Jillian, thanks for taking some time out of work today so we can get this show out there, and we'll see you down there in January.
Awesome. See you then. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by thewisdomofwalt.com. Check out a great read. Read about Walt Disney, how he brought Disneyland to life, and how that book can change your life as well. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, don't forget to check out our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of the crowds. See the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They're over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, when you shop online, please use our Amazon affiliate link this week. It helps support the show, and it keeps everything paid for here as far as the bandwidth, the hosting costs, and all that. We really appreciate it. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back together on Wednesday answering your listener questions. And then on Friday, we'll be talking about all the fun that was had down at Walt Disney World and on the Disney Fantasy. For Jillian, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. It's time to get back to work, literally, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.